Joining us on the line now is Paul O'Gara, who was born in Gibraltar and has had various jobs, including a tour guide of Morocco, a recoverer of broken down rental cars in the desert, tour guide of southern Spain, and running a flamenco club on the Costa del Sol. He's with us on the book show to talk about his first published work. It's called The Boy Who Sailed to Spain. It'll be followed by a collection of short stories and a second book, making this the first in a series. Welcome to the book show, Paul.
Thank you.
It's great to have you with us. So did you ever think years ago that you'd be writing books? Do you feel it's been a long time coming, or is this a very new thing?
No, it's been a long time coming. I've always wanted to write. Well, I think we all do really want to write and play the piano and do something constructive. I always wanted to write. So eventually it came.
Yes. And did you always know what you wanted to write about?
No, I had no idea. That's the problem. I never had any idea of what I would write about.
So where did the inspiration for this story come from?
Well, the inspiration from this story came from, well, it was a lot of inspiration, but really the Boy Who Sailed to Spain came because a relative of mine was involved in the Our Lady of Europa Shrine in Gibraltar. And we spoke about maybe doing some sort of a short movie. And, well, it never materialized, but I carried on. I mean, even though they abandoned the idea, I carried on and I wrote a short book, which came out of the script that I had started preparing.
So who is this boy that sailed to Spain?
The Boy Who Sailed to Spain, he's nobody really. He's a 15-year-old boy. I mean, there's a lot of boys I've met who come up against different things in today's society, which they just are shocked with, which are sort of total anathema to them. And so I suppose the boy is one of many boys who I've come across who have sort of rejected many of the values that that we have in the Western world today.
And how did you come up with the character then? What is he like?
Really, he's a very intrepid, adventurous. He's a young boy who lives with his parents and quite sheltered life. He's a Berber Christian boy, and they live in North Africa. And he then... Well, his father is assaulted and nearly killed or killed. And so the boy goes off to Europe to find, you know, to attend to his father's last request. And he comes up against all sorts here. So it brings out his true personality, because I suppose at 15... really, their personalities aren't formed. Yeah, the Jesuits say that in the first 5 years, you give the boy to them for the first 5 years and they'll give you a man, but I don't agree with that. I think that a person is formed right up to the ages of, well, they're always being formed, really, but a youngster is formed up till the age of 18, 19. And sometimes we forget that. We think that they're adults when they're 15 and they're not at all.
So where is this boy sailing from to get to Spain?
Well, he's sailing from the north of Africa. I don't like to define exactly where my protagonists come from, because it might have a sting in its tail later. So, I mean, this happens in more than one book, because then people start to, you know, maybe they come from that town or that area and feel uncomfortable about it or whatever. So I don't define exactly where they come from, but he comes from the North African area that we have close to us.
Okay. And how would you describe the book? How would you define it?
Do you remember when they had that product out, which was if you see fear, look fear in the face? Well, I suppose it's that sort of thing. This boy comes up across all sorts of situations, and the only way he can do anything about them is to confront them. So it's really very much about this boy emerging and With him emerges an element of strength that he didn't even know he had. So he comes across all these situations which he handles in his own way.
What kinds of situations? Give us an example.
Well, for example, he has a situation with somebody trying to impose their own sexuality upon him. He has a situation with being beaten up by people who just don't like him because of the way he looks and his race and whatever. He has situations where he then is persecuted. He's accused of a crime which he hasn't committed. He's persecuted for reasons he doesn't even know, but he's persecuted and chased. But he always has his mission, which is the mission his father gave him, and that's what he adheres to, and he sticks to his mission and whatever's coming at him. And in the end, these friends find him, and it has a certain amount of religious connotation, a religious feel to the book, but sort of in a magical realism sort of way. It's not directly religious. It just has, because he believes. And it's his belief that carries him forward.
Mm. And he's on his own on the boat, is he, on this journey?
Well, the boat is just a tiny little boat, and he sets off, in Levanter weather. And, well, a Levant can blow very heavily in the Straits, and he's on his own, but then he's rescued. He's rescued because he gets carried off westward. Instead of heading towards Spain, he gets carried off towards the Atlantic. So he's then rescued incredibly because it's really dark and it's raining and the weather is terrible and this huge Levanter storm. And in the middle of it all, he's spotted by this passing tug and they pick him up.
And how did you find the process of writing the book? You say it's been a long time coming. When you eventually got to write it, did you really enjoy it, or was it harder than you thought?
I loved it. I loved it. I was doing it, because it's probably the thing that I've done in my life that gives me the greatest strength and enjoyment and emotion and everything. I loved it. I love reading back what I wrote, which I often consider that I didn't even write it, because when I read back some things, I used to write and maybe stay late into the night, and then when I'd wake up in the morning and read what I'd written, it was a little bit like the story of the elves who made the boots for the carpenter when he was sleeping. Somebody had written this for me. It was an incredible thing, you know. That's how I felt about that.
Yeah. So at what point did you decide that it was going to be a series?
Well, when I ended this book, you see, I think it's worthy of note. I'll mention this to you. I had cancer for 20 years, and I recovered, you know, so I recovered 2 years ago. I was amazed that I was actually declared. So I suppose I became very aware of, you know, I thought to myself, this just didn't happen, because people don't recover of an ongoing cancer after 20 years. So I've always been very grateful to God for it, you know. I know people don't attribute it to God, but I do. And so... when I wrote my first book, I then decided that it was something that I was meant to be doing, and that really my message was to young people to always face things, always, and don't accept society, don't accept anything as it's given to you. Accept things based upon your own gut feeling as to what's good and what's bad. I mean, people say to us that we have to be educated from a young, we have to be educated as to what is good and what is evil, but I don't agree with that. I think it's innate in us. So this is why I continued and why I'm writing a third book in the series at the moment.
Oh, wonderful stuff. So you're really enjoying the process.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful thing. I think all creativity is a gift. You know, you've got to use it.
Yes. And that you're also doing a collection of short stories.
Well, I've done a collection of short stories, which is called Manopo.
Okay.
Manopo means, if you go to Philippines, and if you're a mature person, an older person, and maybe a little child of 4 or 5 puts your hand on their forehead, that's Manopo, and it's respect, veneration. And it's, for me, it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing I saw in Philippines. So my book of short stories is called Manopo.
Lovely. And are they set in the Philippines, or is it a real mixture?
No, they're set in Philippines, in Spain, in Tarifa, in Cuba, all over the place.
Fabulous.
And I've got a lot more to come because I've been travelling most of my life. So.
And how does it compare writing short stories to writing a full-length novel?
I used to write short stories because I wanted to laugh. You can be much more lighthearted. It's much more humorous. You can write things that you see in the street that make you laugh, or situations. Humor is very much about, is very situational to me. It's very, and so you can write about funny things. Whereas once you get into a book, I don't know, a book is a more serious affair. I always say to people who want to write, and so many people want to write, start with short stories. Mm. Because they're, you know, you don't have to be stuck. Who was it said? Some famous writer said that a book is grand for the first half, but when you get to the halfway mark, then you realise you've got to finish the damn thing.
Yes.
I didn't feel that way, but...
Oh, good. Well, if people want to get a copy of your book, it's called The Boy Who Sailed to Spain, and it's available in the bookshop section on our website, tre.radio. It's by Paul O'Gara, who we've been chatting to. Paul, thanks so much for joining us, and congratulations.
Thank you, Hannah. Thank you very much.